Hey, fellow boundary breakers. If your current delegation systems are not working to get you out of the day-to-day in your business, there is an exercise on our website that is the first step to get you out of the delegation catch-22. I'm going to throw the link in the show notes for you to go ahead and download.
So as a social impact business, in my opinion, you have to be more thoughtful and you have to be more aware of how you're spending your money, where you're spending your money. Some things, they might cost more. And then some things might not, but it's also choosing where are you spending that money, right? Sometimes we do have choices in vendors, or right? And so are you working with another business with similar values that also has a social impact? Because the more that we can connect with them and use our own purchasing power, the more all the businesses can rise together.
Welcome to another episode of Female Founders Breaking Boundaries. I'm your host, Casey Gromer. I am the founder of She Suite Boutique. With over 20 years of marketing and business management experience, I work with small businesses and female founders using our signature business blueprint. On the show, you get tools, advice, resources, support, and encouragement that resonates with the modern businesswoman. So, fellow boundary breakers, let's dive in. Hello, fellow boundary breakers, and welcome to a new episode of Female Founders Breaking Boundaries. I'm your host, Casey Gromer, and this is the podcast that's going to challenge you to step outside some of those societal boundaries that tend to hold us back as women business owners. Thank you for your patience. I did not put out an episode last week. It's been a lot. I think I've talked a little bit about on the podcast about some of the personal stuff that's been going on over here. And it's amazing that, like, in the front of my frontal lobe, I actually am not sure if it happens in the frontal lobe. I don't know anything about the brain, but in the front of my head, what's going on right now doesn't seem like that big of a deal. But in the back of my head, some days it's just like, how am I even still functioning? I am not functioning right now. So I appreciate your patience waiting for an episode to come out. And it was worth the wait because this week I was just about to call her an old friend. I don't want to call her an old friend because she's not old, but we go back a few years. Her name is Stephanie Malon Rufi. She is based out of the Twin Cities. She has a business called Spark Good. You can find her at sparkgood.net. Stephanie and I were actually connected through a women's networking group called Biz Chicks. And I think I've introduced you to a few people that I met through the Biz Chicks networking group. And all of the women I met through that group have been absolutely amazing. So Stephanie just happened to be located in the Minneapolis area. So we have been able to connect in person on many occasions. And one of the reasons I asked Stephanie to come talk to us today is because she has a niche service that I felt resonates with probably all of you as listeners. SparkGood.net might give you some clue as to what Stephanie does, but she is focused on consulting and advising and strategy for businesses who have some sort of social impact component to what they're doing. And before you decide that you don't have a social impact to your business, I want to encourage you to go ahead and listen to this episode because we're going to talk about what social impact is, and it might not be what you think. It wasn't what I thought. First of all, there might be ways that you are already making a social impact that you don't realize, or this might give you some ideas on ways that you might incorporate social impact into your business in ways that you've never considered before. Now, before we say hello and welcome to Stephanie, a little bit about her background. She has 20 years of experience working in nonprofits and also for-profit in the management area. She is a fellow MBA, so I have some affinity with her. And she is also working with visionary founders, so I think she's going to be perfect to talk to you today. So why don't we go ahead and jump into today's topic, and let's give a warm welcome to Stephanie. All right, we're going to welcome Stephanie to the podcast today. Stephanie, Welcome.
Oh, thank
you. How are you?
Casey, I am great. I'm really happy to be here.
I'm happy that you're here too. I was just thinking back to how we met or were introduced, and so many of the women that I have come to know really well, I've met through Biz Chicks. Is that where we like first got connected?
That is where we first got connected.
So through Biz Chicks, but you are in the Twin Cities and I'm in Brainerd, which is not very far apart. So then we kind of went off and did our own thing there for a while with like an accountability group, didn't we?
Yes. Met okay. some other of the Biz Chicks that live in the Twin Cities and surrounding in Minnesota.
Yeah. Yes. I need to have some of those other Biz Chicks on the podcast here too. So I'm going to make a list. So there's a very specific reason I asked you to come on the podcast. Why don't you tell our listeners who you are and what you do so that we can kind of get into the topic for the day?
Absolutely. I have my own business, which is called Spark Good. And I actually rebranded over the past year because it really is better embodies the work that I do, which is helping people to get inspired and get ideas around putting forth good in the world. So I work with business owners, I work with people with a market-based business, but they have a social impact that is at the heart of what they do. There are different names. Sometimes people might have heard social enterprise or social entrepreneurs or social impact business. And
what about social responsibility? Is that a term that gets thrown around a lot?
I mean, I would say, and you'll hear that especially in like even bigger organizations, right? Mm-hmm. Like use that terminology. And it's all right in this sort of area of what is your business doing to also create positive change in our world, in our communities even? And so I work with business owners that is a core part of what they're doing, or they're trying to move there. And so that is a lot of the work that I do with them.
So the reason I asked you to come on the podcast, so many reasons, but the two main ones, the two main ones are that the majority of the women who are listening today or who have worked with me in the past have some element of the social impact in their business. And they either know it or they don't know it, but it's there. And also, I feel like I hear this word a lot and I actually throw it around a lot, but I'm not even really sure I have a full understanding of exactly what it means. There's another term, social change is another term I have used for it. So I thought maybe we could just even start by explaining or describing what you mean by this and what it might look like in a business or in one of the clients that you work with.
Yes. So again, it's that your business, that there's a positive social impact that comes out of your business. And I say that too, because, you know, I think traditionally, and I know you, Casey, talk a lot about traditional business and the way it's been run, which we're changing that, right? That's what I think a lot of social businesses are. Part of that's even just changing industry norms and the way that we're doing business in a way that is for the betterment of the person running a business, the people who work for the business, and then like the community at large. Because I think traditionally a lot of businesses, they externalize some costs, right? Mm-hmm. Whether that's environmental or even continuing to pay workers really low wages to kind of keep them. So that's actually, to me, that is negative to our world, right?
Right.
So it's businesses who are saying, I'm going to put something positive and have an impact that's positive.
Let's talk about it a little bit more because I have a lot of questions, actually, as you were talking. So I think that one of the misconceptions maybe, and I'm calling it a misconception because this might be the way I'm thinking about it, but I think sometimes we think about social change or social impact in like a very tactical way of like, I'm using my business to actually like directly impact the environment or whatever. I don't know. But you know what? I remember an example. Gosh, this would have been a couple of years ago, but you had a client or something that you were working with where they were doing something in the Twin Cities with their business that wasn't directly related to the business itself, but the way they were conducting business was really, like you said, non-traditional. And maybe you can give a couple of examples from different ends of the spectrum of what this might look like.
Right. So like those business practices So here's an example, one of my favorite examples, and we've interviewed them on, I have a podcast as well called Two Betties Cleaning in the Twin Cities.
Okay.
Heard of them. They're called Two Betties. They do residential cleaning, and they've gone into commercial as well. And this is a great example because, so on the one hand, they actually do green cleaning. They use environmental products that are environmentally friendly, non-toxic. So even that act alone, right? You could say, wow, that's cool. It's a green cleaning service. However, they also, as they started developing this business, recognized that industry, what do they, I guess, consider them, you know, when you have sort of household help, tends to have very low wages, and that typically, you know, are kind of a depressed group that are, and a lot of times it's people who are new to our country who are taking these positions, you know, and there's like no benefits and so many kind of problems that are for people who are in those fields. And so this cleaning service, they provide living wages, they provide benefits to their employees as well. In addition, what I also like, the other kind of layer, is they do advocacy. They're advocating about wages for domestic workers. I mean, like it or not, all of our industries have ties to legislation. And so there are certain things that there's some advocacy that's required if you're going to really make a shift in the industry.
Yep, exactly.
So I love that example because it's showing there's different layers, right? This business is able to have a real positive impact.
What would come to mind for most people is the green part, right? Like that's very visible. It's very tangible. We're changing the environment. We're making people's homes safer, all of that stuff. But maybe sometimes what we don't think about is we're going to pay our workers more money than average so that they can actually put food on their table and afford childcare and like all of those things. And maybe that's not so tangible. And since it's not directly related to the actual physical cleaning of people's houses, people may not realize that this is a social change part of my business. I think there was a coffee shop too once that I remember the story you were talking about when the coffee shop was only hiring.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that one?
Yes. And so that's this model of sort of like who you're employing. And sometimes it could be people from groups that typically have a hard time, have a lot more barriers to employment, right? So like formerly incarcerated, for example, or it could even, you know, sometimes when it comes to some of the sort of light manufacturing or that it happens, sometimes working with individuals who maybe have some developmental delays, you know, or that kind of thing, providing employment opportunity to individuals who have barriers to employment.
And one of the social impacts that we really advocate for here, and we've highlighted a couple of big organizations, I think Patagonia was doing this for moms. Once you have a baby, life changes. I mean, it does for most of us. And they were doing a lot of benefits for moms in terms of if the mom had to travel for work, they were providing nanny cares to travel with the mom so they could bring the baby with them. Some different benefits like that. Or I know that a lot of people are out there advocating for paternity leave or advocating for longer paid maternity leave. And so if you're a business who is offering some benefits like that, to me, that's a social impact business. And, you know, we're always advocating for those kinds of changes here. I love those examples. And another one that comes to mind is, so here in Minnesota, if you go to Florida, I'm just thinking about Florida because Stephanie and I were talking about the hurricane and I had a condo down there and it's demolished now, but whatever. When you go down to visit Florida, you go to a restaurant and it's just standard across the entire island that you get a paper straw because all of that plastic gets in the ocean, right? But in Minnesota, you go to a restaurant, you get plastic straws, you get plastic takeout containers, you get plastic silverware, you get all of this plastic. If I were to go to a restaurant down Ernie's on Gull and get a paper straw, that would be like a social impact thing that they were doing, trying to eliminate plastic in the environment, but that would come at a cost to them, I'm sure. And so they would have to kind of look at their business structure, right? And so that's the thing that comes to mind is like, if you're making a social impact or social change or trying to be socially responsible, there's an impact to your business because it may not always be economically or financially the cheapest or most efficient decision for you. So I was wondering if you could talk about what's different between, say, just we're just running a for-profit business and that's like our goal is make money, make profit, versus having this other component of social impact. What are some things that we have to consider about that?
Right. That's very true, right? The costs, sometimes you, again, you're not externalizing the cost, which is traditionally what's done. So for example, Walmart, right? They're in the news for how little they pay their workers, how little hours they get. So many of their employees are on public assistance, right? For food stamps or for healthcare. They've externalized that cost to us.
Ah, gotcha.
So as one example, environment's a huge one, right? I mean, we know we've had decades of companies that have destroyed our environment, right? Mm-hmm. They're not paying the cost for that. We're paying that cost.
Right.
So that when I say kind of how they've externalized the costs, and I personally also think consumers are getting more aware of this and are not happy about it either,
right?
As consumers and as employees and as taxpayers even.
Yes. I've been watching the shift too. So yes. I love it. I love it.
Especially the younger generation even. When you have a business that is more thoughtful. So as a social impact business, in my opinion, you have to be more thoughtful and you have to be more aware of how you're spending your money, where you're spending your money. Some things, they might cost more. And then some things might not, but it's also choosing where you're spending that money, right? Because you have a lot, sometimes we do have choices in vendors, or right? And so are you working with another business with similar values that also has a social impact? Because the more that we can connect with them and use our own purchasing power, the more all the businesses can rise together. So I think that's a big difference, yes, with the cost. And some of that's also kind of maybe reframing what our expectations are about income and profit.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big piece too, right? I mean, and I'm all for income and I'm all for profit. I mean, you know, I used to work in nonprofit and I say, you know, profit's not a dirty word, you know, and that's, it's important. And I work with a lot of entrepreneurs who also want to have financial stability and create, you know, wealth for themselves and for their families. So that is important, but I think we have to reframe sometimes what our expectations are around profit, because we know, you know, obviously corporate America, I think they don't have realistic expectations to a certain degree of what that looks like. And in terms of kind of other pieces, maybe that would be different with a social impact business. So again, it's really looking at everything you're doing. You can think about what is the impact of this. I mean, even in marketing, right? Like there's a push now to move towards more ethical marketing, less manipulative marketing.
Oh, thank you, God.
Is really important.
Yes.
Right. And I think the more businesses that do this and raise awareness about this, the more the demand's just going to keep going. So I think there actually is even a financial case to be a social impact business.
Thank you. Thank you. And this just popped into my head too.
Yeah.
But this is a case that I make for a lot of the clients that I work with too, because there's a couple things here. I'm going to try to keep a tangent thought together so I can talk about both of them. But I think about the business and looking above the business in the big picture. So a lot of what you're talking about is strictly related to revenue, profit, the financial side. And if you're looking at your business with tunnel vision, mm-hmm. only on the finances, of course, the social impact part of this is going to look like a cost center, right? It's not the best idea for the business. But if you have somebody who's a strategically minded person who's able to jump up above the finance, marketing, operations and see like the big picture of social impact, those financial differences may not look as negative as you're thinking. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that, because mm-hmm. a lot of times, and I'm thinking about like, you know, when you support the businesses where it says we hire the Philippine women who are single and they're raising children and they can't get jobs. And so we're hiring them to make these bracelets so that they can make a living wage and put food on the table. And then by buying the bracelet, you are supporting them. That's a social impact business. But if you think about it, would you have bought that bracelet if you had not known that this bracelet had a very powerful meaning behind it? I probably wouldn't, because I don't really wear jewelry that much, but I buy a lot of bracelets that I know are supporting somebody else. And so there's an element of, like you said, connecting with the cause, connecting with people with similar values. That's part of your marketing. It's part of your vision of values. So like I said, if you're taking this bird's eye view of not just the finances, but of the marketing and of the operations and of your vision and values, what you're going to see is we're going to pay our workers a higher wage. It's going to increase our cost of production. However, over here in the marketing side, we're going to connect with more people who are going to resonate with what we're doing. We're probably going to be able to charge more money for this thing that we're selling because people are willing to pay it to support us. And we're probably going to get a lot more word of mouth from people who want to support the cause. So our marketing is going to cost less per sale, and we're going to have better reach. So, I mean, there's those kind like, okay, what happens if you plug that into your financial pipe and smoke it, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I think of when I think of social impact. And I try to explain that to my clients, which is you have this message that you really have to figure out how to capitalize on because that's going to make a difference. So I love those examples. So I just kind of let the cat out of the bag, like in ways that you would, if you have a social change business, ways that you would run it differently than a traditional business. But what are some of the other ways? I mean, you're working with these people day in and day out. What are some of the things that you're advising them to do or that you're seeing them do differently than a traditional business to make these things work for them?
Exactly. So a few things. So one and sometimes this can be a little bit of a struggle even for a social business owner because they have the message and the story that's really important, right? Yep. But you still have to be competitive. And sometimes this feels like, well, I don't want to be competitive. That doesn't feel right when I say that word. But what I mean by that is what you're putting out there, the service, the product, it still needs to stand on its own. Mm-hmm. Two Betty's, they still need to know how to clean a house really well. Right at the end of the day. The bracelet, you still want to have a beautiful bracelet that's not falling apart, right? And sometimes the business owner, they're so excited about the mission and the impact of the work. And you don't want to forget that you also do still need to stay competitive, still have quality, and still have some of those back-end systems in place to really build your business.
Yes.
And so I would say that's one area that can be a challenge. And it's something that's definitely an area that I work with clients on to make sure that that's balanced there.
I love that.
Another thing is, and we've already alluded to this in our conversation, but who are you working with, right? Like even who's your accountant, right? Do they understand what you're doing? Are they in alignment? Because who gets it, right? And so it's finding those, whether it's complementary providers, whether it's vendors you're working with, all those people, right? You want to make sure that they understand what you're doing. You know, I was working with a woman and she was going to be hiring and she wanted to hire a few people at once. And she was working with a financial advisor who's like, well, basically the people she had weren't run ragged enough that it warranted getting new people. And she wanted to bring in people before they got to that breaking point.
Oh, Lordy.
Because in our traditional businesses, you just push until you can't anymore. And instead of being a little bit more, I don't want to push my people. I want to also provide a quality work environment. So she had to get a different financial advisor. right. You want to have people who also get what you're doing. And yep. I think more and more that's happening, but that's really important too.
Yeah.
One other thing I'll say with this question. The other piece of it is the idea of, this is going to sound funny at first when I say it, but it's, you need to fall in love with your problem and not necessarily your solution.
Ooh, tell me more.
Yeah. So this concept, there's a great book that I'll recommend called Lean Impact by Anne May Chang. So there was the Lean Startup book. Mm-hmm.
That one I remember.
Okay. So Lean Impact is the next iteration of that. Talking about having the social impact piece. So it's a really great book. And there's a lot of talk about, you know, because what I encourage also clients to do is what's the big picture, right? What's the big problem that you are trying to solve? And you're not solving it yourself, right? In my opinion, these businesses are all little points of light, all working towards the same goal. And everyone has different ways that they're doing it. But there's still, what's the big, you know, and it's going to be, there's a couple big ones, right? Mm-hmm. And so really being mindful of that, because you don't want to be putting a solution out there that really isn't working.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's similar to like, I mean, this works in like, if you think of traditional business, right? Like you put a product out there and oh, you have to get feedback and change it, right? I mean, in general, you need to be open to what iterations you have to make, right? The experimenting that has to happen. So it's kind of along those lines, but it's looking at it with this social lens of the work that you're doing and making sure too that you're not trying to like ram this idea in a way that doesn't work.
I love the way you frame that. And as you were explaining what you meant, I'm like, oh, I can relate it to something that we do here. And so if you're a longtime listener of the podcast, when we talk about creating your vision, I use a very similar approach to what you just talked about. So when we create the business owner's vision, one of the most difficult things that I have in pulling this out of the business owner is having them think of this future state, right? So some of the challenges we run into is when we think of the future state, we think internally about what do we look like? What does our business look like? That's the future state. We really have this hard time of thinking about not even only our direct clients or customers, what they look like in the future, but what does the ripple effect have on the future state? So if we're helping people with this problem, what other things are going to be changing if this direct thing changes? And so when we create the vision, that's what we're looking at. And the reason I think I'm relating it to what you said is to focus on the problem, not to the solution, is we see where we're going and how we get there is going to evolve and change so that we don't have to stay focused on this one tiny little thing that we're doing. It gives the business room to grow, to expand, to change, as long as where we end up is where we're envisioning this happening. So I think we're saying the kind of the same thing. What you're saying is easier to digest, like in terms of, oh, I understand it. So I might borrow that from you.
Oh, at yeah. Some point. Yes. I mean, it's not mine. So that's why right. I'm gonna give credit.
One of the other things that you mentioned is the business owners and remaining competitive. And I had never thought of it that way. But one of the things that I come across, and I'm wondering if you see this too, I work with a lot of mental health group practice owners. And obviously, you can imagine that they're very passionate about social change, right? Like changing the way people process trauma, changing the way we view mental health, like all of these things. And one of the challenges we have is they feel like they don't want to make a profit. They don't want to charge people money because they want everybody, like, you know what? Everybody does deserve to have the same opportunity. And at the same time, we really work at helping them understand that if you're not profitable in the business, you can't continue to operate, which means you're not helping anybody. If you're not profitable in the business, you can't pay your employees, which means they're not putting food on their table and you're still not helping anybody. And so we have this really hard time eventually getting around to this idea of, yeah, it sucks. Sometimes the system sucks. We have to charge money. But by doing that, we're also getting closer to accomplishing this change that we want to see. Do you see this at all with the people that you work with?
Totally see it. In fact, you know, it's funny. I had done a series called The 5 C's of Building a Social Business.
Oh, yes. I think I remember that.
Yeah. Of which, and I've already touched on some of them, right? Because I say competition.
Yes.
And then I talk about community, right? So who are the people in your community, in your ecosystem, who you're even doing business with, right? Do they get it? Change, right? What's the change you want to see? And then cha-ching is one of my
money. I love that. Oh, I love that.
And for just what you're saying, right? So there's like the own sort of that money mindset piece, which is important. And like, and especially because a lot of people in this work, right, they just as you described, feel sometimes uncomfortable with money or charging or this, you know, or they're just so much more kind of in tune with like, well, what about the, you know, the customer and the person who needs the services and that kind of thing. So that's definitely a big one. And like the example you're saying, and I do work with some people in that, in the wellness profession. And so one is like helping them understand, right, the necessity and the bigger picture of what they're doing, that you do have to charge in the way that that's actually beneficial for what you're creating. And the other thing is sometimes it's challenged people to think, well, how can I set up this different than how it typically is set up in this industry? Like I'm working with a woman right now and she is opening up a Black-centered wellness community center. So the wellness, you know, the wellness field is very white centered. We know that. and if you don't know that, then
go out on Instagram for the love of God. There are no Black wellness people on Instagram.
So what's interesting is that there is, because she herself has a therapy background. So she's designing this center, and there will be actually some therapy services and a couple different services, but her pricing model is very different. It's not the same kind of fee for service. It's more of a, it's a membership model that's going to incorporate these other components. And she's also getting, she has kind of, I mean, I call it a scholarship fund. She, I think, a Flourish fund. It's a better name than scholarship.
Okay.
She is a Flourish fund, right? So there's also people who are, and she's a for-profit business. They're not making a nonprofit donation, but they recognize a value also in providing some money to what she's doing.
Yeah.
She's created, I mean, it's happening now, right? Like she's in this active process because she has her community, but she's actually going to get a physical space. But she's thinking, okay, how can I do this differently? Like, how can I still provide, like, what's the end goal here? Kind of healing from your trauma, being able to have a sanctuary that you feel good and you can restore yourself. And she's figuring out how to do that differently. And so I think that's another benefit of kind of that push.
I'm going to throw something out here too. And I'm not a CFO. I'm not an accountant. I'm not a CPA. I'm not a finance expert. But one of the things that weighs on my mind is profit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'm giving bad advice or not. So if there's any financial experts listening that want to weigh in on this, please, I would love to feature you in another episode. But I kind of look at profit differently now than I used to. So if you think about profit, especially we've been talking about corporate and traditional businesses and how they look at their finances and profit. And so when they make profit, whose pockets get lined? The investors, the stockholders, and the executive leaderships. And so a lot of our smaller businesses are run the same way, where business owners might pay themselves a very small salary. It gets them, like, limps them through the year. And at the end of the year, whatever profit they make, they take a distribution of the profit. And the way I am experimenting with helping people look at profit differently is you've got to pay yourself what you need to get paid through the year. Take it off of your top line revenue, right? And like, if you're not making enough revenue to pay yourself that, then there's other things in your business you need to look at. How much profit do you want to make? Let's set that up, set it aside, make sure we're making that much profit. Now, if you have this profit and you want to make a social change, what can you do with that profit? You can reinvest it back into the things that you care about. You can reinvest it back into your employees. You can reinvest it back into the business so that you can do more of the social change that you want to do. So if you're using that profit for the thing that you're passionate about and the thing that you want to change, does that still feel bad to you to make a profit? Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that you can adjust that profit level. Like, you'll adjust your business based on how much profit you want to make. So, you know, you can make a smaller amount of profit, but then you reinvest a smaller amount of money. So if you're not using profit to line your own pockets, it's a different ball game at that point, because you're like, oh, the game has just changed. And the more profit I'm able to make, the more good I'm able to do. I don't know. I'm experimenting with the idea.
No, you're reframing that. And I wanted to actually do a podcast that profit's not a dirty word, or use that somehow, because, and I love the way that you're reframing that. Exactly.
It does a couple things for me, because business owners are sometimes afraid to pay themselves. And then I see this happen a lot, especially for small business owners, is that we pay ourselves the minimum and then we turn 65 and realize that we didn't save enough for retirement. We never got to go on the trips we wanted to go to. We never got to do these things with our family and friends that we dreamed about, because we, you know, we were only taking what's left at the bottom of the barrel. And so I always encourage new clients to me to, like, as part of their business blueprint, I tell them, get your financial, your personal and your business financial plan, get them aligned. A lot of people do really well with their business financial plans, but they haven't talked to a personal financial advisor to tell them what should be going in your health savings plan, what should be going into your retirement fund, what should be going into the kids' college fund. And we don't pay ourselves enough to take care of all of that stuff.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
No, and it's so true. And also understanding the difference between what you're getting paid and your profit. Those aren't the same.
Exactly. I always say profit should not equal how much you get paid. Like, you should be getting paid first, and then how much profit do you have left? Okay.
Yes.
All right, moving on. That was awesome. And I think there was a fifth C that you only got through four C's.
So my fifth C is care, and that is care of yourself.
Yeah.
And your team and others, right? But like starting with yourself, because a big part when I work with people, yes, we talk about the social business and the impact piece and your strategy, but like, I also work with people like, is this working for you? Right. Yeah. And I work with a lot of business owners who are women. I work with a lot of women of color, you know, and because to me that them having their business and their business being successful is empowering. And also, you know, again, that financial empowerment that they are getting out of this and making sure that they are getting that financial piece and also that they're not run ragged.
Right. That ties in nicely to that, the pay yourself that we just talked about.
Yes.
Have you already shared the name of your podcast, by the way?
Oh, no, but I can.
And we'll put the link in the show notes too, by the way.
So it's a podcast that I have co-hosted for, we were just talking, 3 years now.
I know. So 3 years. Amazing.
It's called Social Change Leaders Podcast. And my co-host, her expertise is more in government.
Okay.
Some nonprofit, and I come from nonprofit, but my focus really is social business. But we explore both those individual entities, right? And a lot of my episodes are around, some of it's just straight like business, right? Mm-hmm. How is this working with the social impact? And then sometimes we're exploring like how those intersect, right? Because nonprofit, government, and business, right? Those are the big three that's creating our communities in our world and also can affect change. And that's kind of the crux of the podcast.
Yes. And we will put a link in the show notes. But the reason I was asking is because did you do like an entire episode on the five C's?
Oh, I did. I did. I had a 3-part series.
We kind of been weaving in challenges that maybe some, if you decide that you're going to have a social impact in your business, weaving in some of the challenges you might face. But are there any others that you come across or you can think of that we haven't mentioned here?
Yeah, I mean, I think we hit the big ones. And I think one, which you were talking about too, because of that work around vision and in the future. Mm-hmm. Just a big piece is that your mission, vision, values, and that social impact, they just have to completely align.
Yeah.
And that's really important. And sometimes it doesn't, or sometimes people aren't sure, what does that look like? So that's just an important piece that you really need to do right for your own business. Mm-hmm. And then when you add that social impact component, I definitely see people needing to sometimes refresh that work.
I'll give you a little hint about understanding if your vision, mission, and values are aligned. If you're feeling confused about the direction of your business, your vision, mission, and values are not aligned. I have done so many business blueprints for businesses, and many of them were fairly aligned, and we just need to like tighten things up and articulate it. But there's a few startups that I have supported with business blueprint, and it's just very apparent that they're not aligned because they're different themes, different all over the board. And then you try to get down into like, who's our audience? What are we even providing? Like, what's our service or our product? Nothing goes together. And if you can imagine trying to run a business where nothing goes together, it just doesn't make any sense. And so that is when you're going to want to talk to somebody like Stephanie or to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you had also talked about Stephanie, like when you're the people who are working with you, like your accountant or your CFO, and if they don't understand the business, I always tell people when they've gotten a business blueprint from us, they need to be giving it to everybody.
So
even
that.
If it's a freelancer or you've hired a marketing agency or your accountant, they need to understand that business blueprint. And I'm wondering, do you kind of do similar work for your clients too?
Yes. I mean, typically when we work together, because I will work with people, we either can do a full day. A lot of times when people are like, I want to add this social impact piece, or I have a new offer I'm kind of putting forward, and how is this lining up? We can spend a day hashing that out.
Okay.
But we always have to start, doesn't matter if it's that, or I work with people in an ongoing sort of that coaching consultant relationship, mm-hmm. but we always have to start with, okay, let's start at the beginning and what the mission, vision, values. And sometimes we have to spend more time there than others.
Yes. Thank you for validating, because I very early on in the business, I tried like people would come to me and I would try, well, let's just do what they're asking for. And it always came back to, I cannot make any progress for you on this until we have that. So thank you for validating. Always start with your vision, mission, values. And if you're working with Stephanie, whatever she gives you, you can share that with your accountant too. Like that's something you need to get aligned with people. Yeah. So let's say we have some listeners who do not have a social aspect, or maybe they do and they just don't realize it. I actually kind of want to encourage everyone listening right now to think about anything that you can implement in your business that has some sort of social change. I mean, that's what my business is all about. That's what this podcast is all about. And I just feel like as women, in fact, I think I have a quote on my website. It says, what inspires me in this business is the power we have as women to change the world. And so I just think even if it's like a tiny little step you can take, it's going to have that ripple impact. So what advice would you give for somebody who's listening today who either doesn't realize they have this component of their business, or they're like, are inspired now to add it?
Couple of different things. So one, we talked about your business practices, right? And sometimes this could be the low hanging fruit to a certain degree, right? Because it's like, oh, right. Let me look at where do I spend money each month, right? And can I rethink that, right? And spend money elsewhere that is more in alignment. I mean, right there, or even using some of your profit, right, to donate. Something like that. You know, so there's a couple things like looking, are you paying living wages? Do you work with other, you know, so starting just to look internally at your business practices is one great place to start. And sometimes that's a little bit easier to just kind of look at what you're already doing and how can you tweak that. Review, what are your marketing techniques, right? Are you some of that, you know, that sort of, there's that manipulative and scarcity marketing, right? You don't get it now, price is going to go up. Don't it? You got 10 hours, right? You know, that kind of thing. That think about those things. Okay.
So that's a whole other episode.
So what are your current business practices? But then really it's stepping back and thinking what, you know, I keep saying that, what is that big change that you want to see in the world, right? In fact, and a lot of times as businesses start to do this, they often will use, there's the United Nations has the Sustainable Development Goals, and there's 17 of them. So like gender equality is one, right? Mm-hmm. So they're the really big buckets, but sometimes that's a great place to just start and just think, okay, what sort of big bucket am I even starting in, right? And then how does that relate to the work that I'm doing? You know, like Casey, I mean, I think about you and with the podcast and like talking about like, you know, this whole thing, women, right? It's gender equity and for women and all the things that goes with it. Like the childcare.
Yeah.
Because that's a part of it. So then it's thinking about what are all those things that I can be involved with? Because the other piece is like, do you have a platform? Do you have an outlet where you can use a voice? Because that's another part of having a social impact business. You've got to use your voice to talk about these things. Because if we're not talking about them, then they're not going to change. So that's that third piece of like, where are you plugged in that you can start talking about this?
So a couple of things come to mind. First, I love that you talked about having outlets to talk about things. And I've had a couple of people on the podcast I just want to refer back to for you, because I always encourage us to share our thought leadership. So Carol Cox has been on the podcast. Mm-hmm. So if you're someone who has a social change element to your business, you might want to look up Carol Cox. She has her own podcast and she has been on this podcast talking about how to employ thought leadership. And also Angie Trueblood, who has been on this podcast, also talks about using pitching skills to, once you have your thought leadership, how to get it out into the world into different outlets. So go back and check out those episodes. Okay. Both of those women have their own podcasts that are amazing. And when you talked about what we're doing here, in fact, sometimes I don't even think about it a whole lot, but I just kind of want to mention at C-Suite Boutique, now we don't employ hundreds of people, right? We're not Patagonia. But one of the things that we do is, number one, we only hire women. So here we're talking about equity. Number two, the lowest wage that we will pay is much above minimum wage here for hourly. And then the third thing I wanted to mention is that we hire mostly part-time. And what that does is by paying a higher wage and hiring part-time staff, we are able to employ women who are maybe moms who don't have a full-time schedule to devote to work, but still need to either contribute money to the family finances and or it doesn't make sense for them to pay for childcare. So they are able to still continue working while the children are at home. And so those are three things that we're doing here at C-Suite Boutique as part of social change in support of women and moms and children.
And I love when you say that, you're, because I think to a certain degree, you're like, oh, I didn't think of that. Like, you're probably even more if you really just kind of think about it, and which is what I want, right? Like, it'd be great when we're in a world where there's just so much that is like so positive.
Yes.
And making positive change that we even forget because there's so many of them, yes. Right?
That would be amazing.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
I guess that's maybe a challenge then I have for you when if you're listening right now, when you're done listening, go grab a coffee at the coffee shop and just sit for a minute and think about all the ways that you're doing positive things in your business that you may not have thought about before. And as you think about them, maybe you'll be inspired to ask yourself, like, what more can I do with this? Or how can I make this more of a focus in the next year?
That's right. In fact, and if this is okay, time to say it.
Yes.
I would also suggest, so I have a new quiz out. So it's quick. This, when you start your coffee date with yourself, take the quiz, because first of all, it's called, Am I Using My Business as a Vehicle for Social Change? Okay. And it's going to go through a series. I mean, I think there's a little under 20 questions. And so it's going to kind of give you a gauge of like where you are currently, but in answering those questions, right, you're going to even get some new ideas.
Awesome.
Please take that quiz. And that might be a good place to get your mind thinking. And then when you're kind of do your little brainstorming, but I love that. I love that challenge, Casey.
Yes. And head to the show notes because that's where the link to the quiz is going to be. And also, Stephanie, I want you to share, since you do work with business owners and helping them build in and be successful with the social change, where can we find you and how can we work with you if we want to focus on this area of our business?
Thank you. So I have a website, which is sparkgood.net. I am also on LinkedIn. I need to get better at posting, but I am on there and I do. I'm active on there and, you know, in engaging with people and seeing what's happening, but would love to connect there as well. And that's S. Malon Rufi, which will have my name in the show notes there. Yes. But that's a great place to connect. I'm on Instagram as well. That's just sometimes a little behind the scenes, whatever. But I'd say LinkedIn or reach out on my website. You can schedule time with me and we can connect. I work with people. Sometimes we do an intensive, right? And it's called a Spark Day.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that's where, you know, you might come in with a problem, a challenge, something you're trying to, again, it could be something new that you're developing. And you just really, we need to get it out and try to map out where you're going to go with that. Otherwise, I work with people in this and ongoing. So I do a minimum of 6 months because it really just gives us enough time to get to know each other. I can know. So it's about the strategy of this social business, but it's also like, okay, how are you working as this entrepreneur here? Mm-hmm. And like, you work with someone for 6 months, you kind of start to see like, oh, this is where you need to push, or this is something you need to do differently so that you're really working in your business and it's working.
I love that. So on LinkedIn, by the way, I hate when people should all over themselves, by the way.
Oh,
but you know what I like about LinkedIn is it doesn't matter if you're posting or not. It's a nice place to, like, nobody knows your email, right? But they can go find you on LinkedIn and send you a message and say, hey, I heard you on your podcast episode or whatever. And that's how I like to use LinkedIn. So if you're listening, connect with us on LinkedIn and send us a message, because that is like, you know, like that's like gold in my treasure chest for the week when you do that. And then first of all, Spark Good. I mean, who could get a better business name than that? But I love those day sessions because if you think about who we are, you are never going to go out and like take an entire day for yourself and get shit done, right?
Exactly.
So this is like forcing you to set aside time. And not only are you setting aside time, but you've got somebody who is a specialist, a guru, who's not only going to advise you, but also hold you accountable to leaving that day with an accomplishment of some sort.
Exactly. And I always have a follow-up meeting after a Spark Day.
Yes. Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I feel really energized now. And I want to go now and be like, how can I do some more good? So be sure to go and listen to those episodes of Stephanie's podcast. Yeah, and thank you, Stephanie.
Well, thank you. This has been such a great conversation, Casey. I really appreciate being here and being with you.
Honey, what is it that you wanted to tell our listeners today?
Get out there and break some boundaries and do it for me and my generation.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Female Founders Breaking Boundaries. If you enjoyed this episode, would you be willing to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're tuning in? You can connect with me on LinkedIn using the link in the show notes. And until next week, don't be afraid to get out there and break some boundaries.